And joining us now, South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson. Congressman, thanks for the time, sir. Hope all is well.
Oh, absolutely. Well, anytime you pass a farm bill out of committee, that's a day to celebrate.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that passage. And I know plenty of debate, some contention on a number of different items, but ultimately all Republicans and I believe seven Democrats voting this out of committee, a big step here. What's your feeling now that this is passed out of committee? What's your thoughts after all of the debate that was had here this week?
Yeah, a fair amount of the news articles have hit on the fact that we did have some dust-ups. Listen, we had some strong fellowship, intense fellowship on a few topics. But honestly, by the standards of modern D.C., which is a bit of a dumpster fire, obviously, there was still an awfully bipartisan work product. 34 yes votes, 17 no votes. That is far more bipartisan than you'd see in most committees. You know, we celebrated David Scott, the former Democratic chairman, in strong bipartisan fashion, naming a scholarship that helped people get to historically black colleges after him. There were lots of areas of agreement. And in fact, if you look at the kind of the marker bills that formed the basis of the farm bill, something like 180 marker bills, I think 150 of them were bipartisan bills. So still a very, very strong work product, even in a very dysfunctional era.
I know some areas to think about here, one of which tried to get onto the farm bill was E15, but it sounds like that amendment did not make it through. Your thoughts on that, because I know that's a big area that a lot of folks in farm country are talking about E15 and sounding that drum right now.
Yeah, I mean, if we wanted to have the whole farm bill fall apart, we probably could have played some games on E15. Listen, every single person on that committee supports E15. Everybody knows how important it is for American energy dominance. The reality is you can't have a bill that is in somebody else's jurisdiction. The rules of the House are very clear. Committees get to work on their work. They don't get to go work on somebody else's work. And whether you and I like it or not, the reality is that a fuels issue like that is jurisdictional to the Energy and Commerce Committee. So, listen, I love E15. It's absolutely the right thing to do for this country. We absolutely have to get it done. But if we would have violated the rules, E15 still wouldn't have gotten done because the whole gosh darn bill would have been thrown out before it hit the floor.
No, and I appreciate some clarity on that. Folks asking questions, I think, about that. So, you know, rules of order, things of that nature, we got to abide by them here. In terms of this moving to the House floor for a wider vote, of course, what's your feeling as this will get to move to the House floor, we hope, relatively soon?
Yeah, so Chairman G.T. Thompson and Speaker Mike Johnson, as well as Steve Scalise, the majority leader, they'll need to make a play call about when the right time to put on the floor is. Of course, you know, I'm ready to go, you know, sooner rather than later. There'll be some minds we've got to change on both the Democratic and Republican sides of the aisle. It may be that they want the Senate to show that they're serious. You know, that was the issue with the last farm bill. We had a strong bipartisan vote coming out of committee last Congress, as this Congress. And then the Senate just never marked anything up. For whatever reason, retiring Chairman Debbie Stabenow never really got, she was just high-centered. And so one of the benefits of having the House move passage out of committee is that it hopefully will put a little pressure on the Senate for them to step up and get to work. And Chairman Bozeman, Arkansas, he's been far more focused on getting the farm bill done than Stabenow was.
We're talking with Congressman Dusty Johnson of South Dakota. You had an amendment as well that got in out of the version out of committee here, looking at REAP, the Rural Energy for America program. Can you touch on that for us a little bit?
Yeah, for folks who don't know, REAP helps, you know, rural businesses and ag producers reduce their energy costs and their energy use. So, you know, think some, you know, distributed generation, think some energy efficiency investment, those sort of things. Small cooperatives, think your local cooperative, don't necessarily think CHS or Land O'Lakes, but they would have to be 2,500 employees or fewer. your local cooperatives have always qualified for that program, but that hasn't really been crystal clear and acknowledged. So we wanted to provide some clarity. That was unanimous support of my amendment. And I think it's going to help those cooperatives remain competitive and provide even more value to those member owners.
And thinking about what we're going to see here now with this process, you alluded to the Senate side and the House side more. And I think at the end of the day, there's a lot of folks in farm country who are sitting here just wanting that certainty of this five-year farm bill. And we've essentially kicked the can down the road far enough. So I think a lot of folks, they've been saying to members of Congress such as yourself, you know, hey, are we going to get this thing done, especially with the midterms really barreling down on us here, Congressman?
Yeah, when most people talk about certainty, what they're talking about are Title I programs, they're talking about crop insurance, they're talking about conservation. Of course, we did all of that in reconciliation. So we've got the 5 years of predictability. And Congress probably hadn't done a good enough job of reminding people of that, that when people, quote, want us to do a farm bill, they want us to address those three things. Plus, they want to make sure we're moving SNAP in the right direction, getting good reforms, having integrity in the program, making sure we're helping families. We also got that done during reconciliation. So that's why people are calling this a skinny farm bill. That's not to say that the issues we're dealing with, like rural development and research, aren't important. But the reality is that 85% of the farm bill has already been done. Now, we got to get our job done. That doesn't provide any rationale for why we wouldn't get the other 15% done. So I do hope we get the skinny farm bill done. I do think, particularly in those programs I mentioned, that will provide more certainty, more predictability, and that'll be good news for the American economy.
I should ask you about trade, tariffs, all those sorts of things real quick as well, as that's obviously been in the news. And a big spotlight, I think, on fertilizer in particular the last several days with the conflict in the Middle East and concerns about, you know, more domestic production of fertilizers and obviously just the broader issue of the cost price squeeze tied to trade, tariffs, the economy in general, you name it. What's your feeling on some of these items broadly as farmers are still feeling the pinch right now in farm country?
Yeah, I mean, inputs have been lousy for a lot longer than we've had the higher tariffs. I'm not a fan of high tariffs as a permanent part of the economic landscape. But I mean, I think all your listeners understand what the president has been trying to do, use those threat of high tariffs as leverage to be able to secure better trade deals. And obviously, better trade deals help American agriculture first and foremost. I mean, we have had countries, you know, even our close allies, Mexico with our corn, Canada with our dairy, that have not been treating us very well. It would be good to get the pace of some of those deals tackled. You know, the president's across the board tariffs probably aren't as targeted a tool as what he was using before. But listen, the Supreme Court said that he didn't have that authority. And we're a country that plays by the rules. So he's taking a little bit different tack. And clearly, you're absolutely right in that input costs, which have been high for quite a while and getting worse, they are absolutely, I mean, that is the primary issue, far more than price or yield or weather, that is causing real stress to the American producer.
Absolutely. Anything final you would leave with folks here today on the show?
It feels great. We so often talk about Congress not being able to get anything done. That's never quite as true as we make it seem. But this is a particularly good day to just remind folks that the Democrats and the Republicans representing farm country came together last night, most of us, two-thirds of us, to put together a really good work product that's going to move this country forward.
Well, we appreciate the work and, as always, the time with us here on the show. South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson, thanks for joining us, sir. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks much.